you'll open your Bible to page 967, if you've not done so, I want to talk to you in a moment about something that I think will be very helpful for you to consider and think about in your life. Now, before I get into that, let me say, boy, today is a big day for Dottie and me. 54 years ago tonight, we had our first date. Yeah, and today to celebrate that, I invite her to come to Tuesday Bible lunch. No, we'll go, but you've heard me tell about that first date. You don't want to hear the details again, but that's the date we had that we went and had a donut and a cup of coffee, and the tax and all was 26 cents. That was a long time ago, 54 years ago. That's what it was, and I picked her up in a pickup. She'd never been in a pickup in her life. And I'd washed the truck. I thought it was very impressive. But anyway, we go in this place to eat, and I've shared with you before, just as I started to bite into my donut, she said, "Aren't we going to pray?" And I thought, I've asked a nun out. I didn't know what. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I have a rule that anything that costs more than a quarter, I pray before I eat." And I thought, boy, this is a different person here than... Well, I bowed and went into a great saintly prayer trying to impress her, I'm sure. Well, I can assure you tonight, we're going to Paris and we will pray, okay? So be that as it may, time goes by. Dottie asked me this morning, she said, "Had you known 54 years ago how it was going to wind up being 54 years down the way, what would you have done?" I said, "I'd have run out of the donut shop." Not about her, but about a lot of other things. Well, anyway, well, that was my opportunity, and it worked. But I want to talk to you about being on the lookout for opportunities. You know, if I said to you, I want you to be on the lookout for snakes, well, now you would know exactly what to be looking for. You would. Sometimes even in the garage, I glance around. You know, sometimes a snake will kind of get in there. Or if I said to you, be on the lookout for glass, well, you'd know what to look for. In fact, my next-door neighbor, Larry Kennedy, who's a fine next-door neighbor, even though he is a Methodist, he's a great next-door neighbor. You know, he owns this roofing company. He's kind of retired, but he kind of does some more roofing. But anyway, he was re-roofing his house a week ago. That's my next-door neighbor. Now, the problem when you have a next-door neighbor re-roof the house, those nails can get over in your driveway. And so I've been on the lookout for nails in my driveway, but they got them all up. I've not found any at all, but that's very hard to believe. You could re-roof a whole house and not one roofing nail would get in your driveway. But, you know, every time I go out there in the morning, I glance around, and I found two the first day, but we got them picked right up. But, you know what? If I said to you, be on the lookout for traffic in Houston, well, you'd say, you must think we're crazy because we'd know exactly. But if I said to you, you need to be on the lookout for opportunities, well, like that's not as easy to see as snakes and glass and nails. Be on the lookout for opportunities. Well, in our scripture this morning, now it's after lunch, isn't it? In Acts chapter number 3, we see Peter and John. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Look at me in verse 1. It says, Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, they're just going to pray in the temple, okay? And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. Alms simply is gifts for needy people. That's what that's talking about. For those who enter the temple. So I guess it's pretty smart, you know, here these people coming to pray. So you figure anybody's coming to pray would be very sensitive to give to help somebody in this situation. So here the guy is and here they come. And the guy sees Peter and John about to go into the temple and he asks for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now we'll come back to the story in a moment. But the point is that I see here above everything is that Peter and John saw an opportunity. And here's this lame man. And not only that, if we had time to read some more in the scripture, a crowd, in fact, in down verse number 11, says there's a lame man who was healed, held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So here's this crowd that comes. And so Peter and John have an opportunity to meet a need of a man who had been, in fact, as we go over in chapter 4 in verse 22, the man, it says, was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So he's been this way since he's born. So for over 40 years, this guy unable to walk. So they saw this opportunity. And then here come these people questioning about how this has happened. They saw another opportunity. And of course, you know, Peter preaches this sermon, verses 12 through 26. And time won't let me read the whole sermon. But if you go down in verse 19, it's the theme of the sermon in Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. Let me run to it. It says, here's the theme of his sermon. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, he's talking to this crowd of people now. That your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's a very powerful sermon that he preached. But the point is this, at least the point I want to make today. Peter and John saw an opportunity, and they seized it. See, first of all, many times, I think most of us have to agree, opportunities come by and we don't even see them. I fear that's me often. Opportunity, missed it. Opportunity, missed it. But they don't bother me because I never saw them. Maybe one day God will reveal them back, and I'll say, oh, the things that bother me, or the thing that bothers me, are the opportunities that come my way that I do see, but I don't seize them. I just, for whatever reason, whatever. you, if you think, give it a little thought. You see, when we see opportunities come, sometimes opportunities come in our circumstances. Just the circumstances of life that we find ourselves. And I can think of illustration after illustration after illustration of that, but you don't need me to illustrate that. You know, normally in circumstances, what we really see is the circumstance. But in every circumstance, probably there are some opportunities to be a blessing in some sort of way. If we just would see it and then seize that opportunity. Oh, maybe you have, for example, a physical issue. Now, that's a circumstance. And I think of many of our members who are going through a lot of stuff physically. Well, that's their circumstance. And in that circumstance, they have a great opportunity to seize that opportunity. You say, well, what do you do? Well, exhibit their faith. You know, some of the greatest encouragements I ever see is people going through physically some very difficult things, but yet it's not they don't struggle, they do, but they have a peace about them, they have a calmness about them. When people go through a death in family or close friend, whatever, you know, that's a circumstance. That's their circumstance at the moment. And to see how different people handle all that, it's just really amazing to me. I'm just so inspired seeing people go through things, and I might not say it to them, I just say to myself, you know, if Donnie and I were going through that, I don't think we'd do, they're just doing better than we would do. Now, they're probably having their hard times too, but yet there is about them a strength that is such a blessed, wonderful thing. So I guess the point I'm making today is that, you know, we're just so busy living life, we all are. We just move from one thing to another thing. Well, all this stuff is a circumstance. And I was listening to Gaither and one of his little things he did Sunday night. He was talking about when you get in the grocery line that only checks out 15 items and you get behind somebody with 115 items. Yeah. I had that very thing happen to me last night. I went in the store to buy Dottie two loaves of the gluten-free bread that she eats. I said, I'm just going to run in. I'll be right out. And I did run in. And I saw this manager. This manager was pacing, kind of looking like they didn't have about half the lanes open. By the way, it was not. I was down at a store in Clear Lake. And at that time, the manager was seeing we had all these people lined up. I don't know what I was doing in the grocery store last night at that time before, but just people everywhere trying to check out. Didn't have this little handful of checkers. And he would finally, you know, he would go get another employee and say, open up that line. And of course, people go. Well, I did what I always do. I picked the line I thought would be the quickest, and it was the worst. And I was in a circumstance. And I thought, I really need to go say something to that manager. And then I thought, I probably just best stick to pastor and preaching at church. I probably. And then the longer I stood there, I was building up my courage, and I was just about to do it. And lo and behold, a lady who's a faithful member of our church saw me. She was in the next line. She spoke. And I thought, ooh, I'm glad I didn't go do that. You know, I had an opportunity, and I did the right thing for the wrong motive. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, look at your, you know, you're waiting to see the doctor, you're waiting to see this, you're waiting to see that. Well, all of this is a circumstance, and it might not be what we want, but it's an opportunity to be a witness for God. That's exactly what it is. If we could think that way, if I could, I'd do so much better. You know, an opportunity to encourage people. Last Thursday night, Dottie and I don't know where we'd been, but it doesn't matter. It was somewhere after 8 o'clock, and we got this text on our phone. Actually, she got the text. A lady in the church had a daughter who's also a member of the church that was having a baby. We've known about this baby that's going to be coming, but here's the problem. Things didn't work out real good. They weren't working out real good, to say the least. And Dottie read me this text, and I said, you know, this thing is serious. I said, find out what hospital they're in. And so Dottie texts the mother back. It's her daughter. And it was getting to be like we could be about to lose a daughter here. That's what was about to happen. And Dottie said, she's in Memorial Hermann out on I-10. Dottie said, where is that? I said, well, it's the other side of the world. Memorial I-10. Well, we text back, and finally we said, you know, we really need to go out there. We do. So now it's up about 8:30. Now, if you've never been to Memorial Hermann out on I-10, it's a monstrous hospital. Of course, down medical centers, you know, it's monstrous also. But out there, it's just, you've got to really know what building you're going to, what garage. I said, text the mother back and tell her we're coming out to pray with them. And they text back and said, that's not necessary. And we said, well, that's what we're going to do. We're on our way. So we get out there, and the mother had texted back and said, well, you need to go to garage 5, and if you'll park in garage 5 and go up to the third floor, that's where we are. Well, we get out there. Now, it takes about 50 minutes at best that time of night to get out there. But we couldn't find garage 5. You say, well, what's wrong with y'all? Well, I tell you what you do. You go out there tonight about 9 o'clock and try to find garage 5. We found garage 4, and we turned where we thought would be right, and we wound up in a dead-end alley back of the emergency room. And I thought, in fact, we had gotten out of our car once and gone in a building to see if they could direct us. But that time of night, all the volunteers are not working. So it's just me and Dottie out there. We don't know what we're trying to find the people. So I turned the car around this alley, and I looked, and there's a police car down. They had a lot of security out there. I felt very safe out there, you know. Downtown late at night around the hospitals, I mean, I guess there is some security, but they're hidden out somewhere. But out there, there's just security everywhere. These lights turn. I said, well, there's a policeman. I'm going to drive down to ask the policeman, could he tell me how to get to Garage 5? And so I drive up. Now, the policeman's car is going this way, and I'm going this way. So I rolled my window down. I said, sir, I'm trying to find Garage 5. Could you direct me to Garage 5? Tell me how to get there. Well, he looked at me for a moment or two, and he said, I tell you what to do. Follow me. Well, now I'm going this way, and he's going. I said, well, let me turn around. So I turned around. Well, he turns his other lights on. Like I had a motorcade going to Garage 5. Now, right before we got there, I forgot one good part of the story. John calls in and said, well, how y'all doing? I said, well, we got to go see. I told who it was. I said, things are not going well. And he said, well, I best go with you at this time of night. See, your kids, when you get up our age, think, you know, somewhere around 5:30, you ought to come on in, you know. He said, where are you? I'll meet you. I said, well, when he called, I said, well, we're on Beltway 8. We've just gone over Westheimer. He said, well, I'm just going to pass on this. He said, y'all be careful out there. I said, well, we're going to be careful. And he said, call when you ever get there so I'll know. I said, okay, I know. I don't know what he's going to do if I never called. I guess just come out there. Look, I said, we're heading for Garage 5. Well, this policeman, listen, this thing gets better. See, we had gone out to encourage a family in a very bad situation. Now, we got this policeman directing that we following this guy. And I'll be honest, he knew we would never have found Garage 5 from where we were. But he made several turns, and finally he turns into Garage 5, and he goes on into Garage 5. I just keep following him. And he points, like, I pulled in, get out. Well, I walked over to thank the gentleman, and he said, get in my car. I thought, Lord, we got in the car. I put Dart in the front, and I got in the back. The guy turns his car around, and he drives back out, drives right over in front of these doors, and he said, all right, now, you see those doors? He said, you go in those doors. Go up to the third floor. But when you leave here, don't go the walkway. You'll never find your car. See, he also thought at our age, we really can't find our car. He said, you get on the elevator and come back down, walk right out the door, and your car's going to be right there where we just left it. Now, I tell that story to say this. Now, see, that policeman, he saw an opportunity to help two middle-aged people finally, I'll be honest, when we got out of the car at the front door that he told us, when you leave, you come back out this door. I guess the guy just thought we would just, I don't know what he thought. He said, you, I said, sir, I want to say something to you. I said, I'm a minister, and you've been like an angel to us. I said, you've really helped us because we're trying to go up and pray with the family. Well, he was very humbled by that and just so glad he got. But I share that. When we made our visit and we were driving back home, I said to Dottie, I said, you know, we had an opportunity tonight to encourage your family. We did. They were very encouraged. Then you would have been, and I would have been as well. But the point of the matter is we seize the opportunity, and that doesn't mean every time somebody goes to hospital at 9 o'clock at night, it's not necessary. But here's another deal. Here's this policeman. Now, he didn't get any extra money helping the middle-aged folks find Garage 5, but he just saw two people trying to find Garage 5. It was an opportunity, but he could have just said, really, well, go down there to that alley and turn to the right and then right quick turn back to the left and then do a U-turn and go. I mean, we'd still be out there trying to find where to go. He sees the opportunity. Now, I'm just simply saying today, all of us are somewhere in life. That is our circumstance. We really are. And my prayer would be that God would help all of us in our circumstances see opportunities where we can be a blessing, where we can be an encouragement, and when we see them, boy, this is the part, seize the opportunity. And Father, that is my prayer. I miss many opportunities. I'd never even see them, I'm sure. But God, we have many opportunities. I know I do. I know Dottie and I do. We see opportunities. A lot of times, God, we want to do stuff we can't. I understand that. But God, many times it would just be so simple if we would seize that opportunity. It might be something, God, just to pat a person on the back or just send a kind note or just sometimes just tell them what a blessing they are just little things that to us might not seem like a very big thing at all might be the very thing, God, that would help them through what they're going through. God, help us not just so be focused on our circumstances that we don't see the circumstances of others, is my prayer. Now, Lord, God, bless each one who's here today. Thank you for this day. Give us safety as we journey on through the day and the week, and help us be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.